Previously on Algoa FM.
Time for Mythbusters, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who wonders whether they're sleeping correctly, you know, or maybe sometimes why do we sleep but we still wake up and we feel exhausted? So I've rounded up some of your top myths about sleep, and tonight I have the perfect person to help debunk these myths. From SA Sleep Lab, it's family physician Dr. Dylan Gibson. Dylan, welcome to Algoa FM.
How's it, Kia? Lovely to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. We need your help, okay? Especially me, because today I woke up fairly exhausted. And I don't know if it's maybe because I slept and then I woke up around about 7 o'clock, but then I went back to sleep thinking I could use a few extra Z's. But then when I woke up, I felt even more exhausted.
Yeah, you're not alone, Kia.
I think it's
a common experience.
It's all of us. Can you tell me in layman's terms just what you do for a living?
Sure, yeah. So I, as you said, I'm a family physician. I work part-time at the SA Sleep Lab, where we help people with a range of different sleep disorders.
Yeah.
Predominantly sleep apnea, where people struggle with sleep because there's something wrong with their breathing, but also a variety of other conditions. And then in my spare time, I'm also setting up a holistic mental health practice, which is another interest of mine. And sleep obviously fits in quite nicely with mental health as well.
No, it absolutely does. So you're the perfect person to actually help us bust some of these myths. So our listeners came up with, I'm going to say, four top myths. And without wasting any time, I want to get into the first one, which is that you should go to bed at the same time every single night and wake up at the same time to maintain like a good sleep health. So if you're sleeping at different times every single day and you wake up at different times, then you don't have good sleep health. Is that true?
I think the answer is probably yes and no. So if you're someone that finds it easy to fall asleep and sleeps through the night, then it probably doesn't matter really what time you go to bed, as long as you're giving yourself enough of a sleep opportunity. But if you're someone that's battling with falling asleep, you're maybe taking longer than 20 minutes to fall asleep at night, and you're not waking up the time that you want to, then that's probably the first thing you should start looking at, is getting some more consistency into your bedtime routine.
And how would you suggest that someone could do that? Like, for example, if they're taking longer than 20 minutes to sleep, what do you think is like a good trick that can just get someone to sleep quickly?
Yeah, so I think landing a helicopter is a nice way to think about falling asleep compared to landing a Boeing 747.
Yeah.
A lot of people go about their evening and they're working and then suddenly they drop what they're doing and expect to fall asleep straight away, which is kind of like landing a helicopter.
Yeah.
So you want to try and land like a Boeing, you know, just build in some kind of a wind down routine, some self-care, personal hygiene. Just get yourself slowly into a sleep state before you actually try and fall asleep.
Another myth that I've seen quite often is that the older you get, then the less sleep you need. Like I got told the other day, well, Kia, even if you're not sleeping your full 8 hours, you're getting older. So you only need 6 hours. Is that true?
That is definitely not true. And I follow the work of Dr. Matthew Walker quite closely. And he's debunked this myth quite clearly in his research, showing that actually older people struggle with the amount of sleep, not because they need less sleep, but because their brains struggle to generate the sleep that they need.
Wow.
Yeah, which is definitely something that we need to kind of generate ways to help these older folk with this problem. Because there's also really strong links between sleep and memory and, you know, degenerative cognitive issues like Alzheimer's. Are certainly conditions that we are linking with insufficient sleep.
Wow.
And so we really need to prioritize helping older people to sleep. And, you know, just labeling it as you're just getting old is really not the answer.
That makes sense. So, I mean, when you say insufficient sleep, how many hours is that then?
So anything less than 6 hours is clearly linked with long-term negative consequences. But there is definitely some variation from person to person in terms of how much you need, but definitely less than six is going to cause issues.
Speaking of issues, people say that snoring is not a serious health issue. Yeah. Is this one true?
Well, it's certainly a health issue when you're getting elbowed by your partner all the time. Which
exactly.
is the first thing that happens. But I think a lot of people that snore are happy snorers, and it's not going to cause any issues. But you certainly need to think about whether you may have sleep apnea that's associated with that snoring. And so a couple of things I would suggest thinking about is are you tired? Is your sleep refreshing? Do you feel like you've been breathing through your mouth heavily through the night and have a sore throat in the morning, feeling exhausted when you wake up in the morning. And if you have periods where you are not actually breathing properly, where your partner notices that you go silent for a couple of seconds, and also, you know, associated conditions like high blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure and you snore, that would certainly be an indication that you should get it checked out.
That makes a lot of sense. And one of the other really big myths that we got from our listeners is that when you use your phone or you watch TV before you sleep, it affects the quality of your sleep. You know, I've once heard that you shouldn't keep your phone too close to you as you're sleeping. So every time before I sleep, I'll kind of make sure my phone is on the other side of the bed.
Yeah, toss it over.
Yeah, like toss it over to the other side so that, I don't know, I can get better quality sleep. Is this one true?
So this is a really interesting conversation, and I think that it's going to be fascinating to watch the space over the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Because I think we're starting to understand more and more the role of light in our health and how it pertains to sleep and mood. And so, you know, a lot of the argument with regards to screens has to do with blue light that the screens emit and the effect that that has on your sleep and on your ability to make melatonin. But I think that it's perhaps been a little bit over-exaggerated, and some people are starting to say that perhaps the bigger issue is more the activating content that you're looking at on your screen as opposed to the actual light itself.
Right.
You know, so if you're, I mean, a lot of people have got work emails coming through on their phones and work-related messages, and it's more the contents of the material that's coming through perhaps rather than the light itself. But as I said, it's an evolving conversation and certainly something to watch over the next while.
Wow, I love it. I wish we had more time. Algoa Country, Dr. Dylan Gibson. Speaking of watching the space, where can we watch you? You know, where can we watch your thing? Maybe on social media or just to kind of check out your work and what it is that you do.
Yeah, so I'm doing quite a lot of cool stuff on Instagram. You can follow me at Dr. Dill Gibson. Work at the Sleep Lab and, just kind of exploring what my career has to offer me, and life is full of surprises, so we'll see where it goes.
Sure. No, you've definitely given us a whole lot of ease now going into our sleep for the next couple of days. So Algoa Country, you heard it here first. Maybe if you're struggling a little bit with your sleep, maybe you should call up Dr. Dylan Gibson.
Thanks so much for having me, Kia.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.